I'm Nina Shaken with BYU Idaho Radio. I'm here with Doug Thompson. He's the IT business analyst for BYU Idaho. Just to start today, you share some thoughts in your devotional address on living a celestial life. What does that phrase mean to you?
So what it means to me is the a lifestyle of how we live today that will help prepare us to a potential outcome of how we would like to see ourselves in the hereafter. We talk about the 3 degrees of glory, and always all of us are striving to make it to the celestial kingdom. And so that's the emphasis, is living our life today in a manner that will help us prepare for a celestial life glory.
And you share 8 different ways to help us do that. The first way is discerning between right and wrong. What advice would you give to someone who is struggling to discern and choose what is right?
That's a great question. You know, I think internally, as I mentioned in my talk, we have the light of Christ, which is in us, and it's inherited. And I think if we listen to that, the promptings that we feel as a result of that, and not kind of squelch them, that we know throughout our lives what we should be doing. And that's kind of where I'm focusing, is, you know, listen to it and don't ignore it.
The second one you mention is the importance of praying often. Could you share an experience where prayer blessed your life or someone's life that you know?
You know, throughout my life, there has been multiple experiences where it has blessed my life. And, you know, not only for helping me to choose a companion, but how to raise children and how to deal with different difficult situations.
And the third thing that you mentioned was the importance of attending church often. And you especially talk about how for a time we were unable to gather because of COVID-19. How were you able to bring some of that spirit to your Sundays during that difficult time where we weren't necessarily attending as often as we would like, or even sometimes not attending at all?
Mm-hmm. You know, probably the biggest thing is trying to keep the Sabbath day holy. It becomes very comfortable to treating the day as if it's any other day. And I think setting the spirit of your home or wherever you live in the right attitude of being able to feel of His love and the spirit in your home is very important. I mean, we talk about a cleanliness is an inviting place for the Savior and for His spirit to be there. And I think that's a very important thing to have.
And another thing you talked about as well was listening to our prophets and apostles, especially during this time, you know, with COVID and all the things that have been going on. Why is it so important to listen to the prophets today?
Well, we know the prophet will never lead us astray. And if there is any time than a time when we may be absent from attending our church meetings in person, it would be so valuable to be able to listen to words that they have given. And I find that, you know what, we have words that have been given in general conference, and current technology and media services today through Twitter and Facebook, so many messages that of inspiration that we keep hearing, and it's important important to stay in touch. Kind of like a beacon, always keep it on.
It's a good way to, just like you said earlier, to keep that spirit with you when you are trying to make decisions or having a hard time. The sixth thing you mentioned was avoiding the appearance of evil. How can this be applied specifically to students here at BYU-Idaho?
So I like to golf. And when you golf, you have, it's an honesty sport. You know, what happens on the golf course, away from your opponent or away from anybody else, is strictly a, it's an honor system. You know, it takes an integrity and the integrity of a person. So when you think about it, is what visibly or what is going on in your life, which nobody else knows about, that you might be doing, which you know is wrong. And so it's in those quiet, closed, confined times that you are honest with your spirit and with your Heavenly Father, honest with covenants you've made, that you don't let your guard down and succumb to thoughts that might not be appropriate, actions that may not be appropriate, feelings. I mean, here again, if you think about that in your conscience, and you know what is right, it should help guide you in those right directions.
And speaking of knowing and doing what is right, the sixth thing that you mentioned was the importance of making and keeping sacred covenants. The temple is a place to make covenants and remind us of the ones we have made. How would you suggest we keep the temple in our hearts while it's not fully open?
You know, that's another great question, because if you look at what, and it takes a little bit, but if you think about questions that may have been asked to help you to qualify, you might say, to receive a temple recommend, and what comes from it. I think another aspect is just thinking about the feelings that you have felt in our minds. You know, if you think about the endowment ceremony, you think about sealings, you think about initiatory process. And I think you can envision the steps going through each of those and, you know, what you learn from the beginning to where we're at helps you to keep that in mind.
And the seventh one that you mentioned was guarding against spiritual apathy. Could you tell us what is spiritual apathy and what's the best way to guard against it?
There again, if you think about the word apathy, there are multiple kind of definitions or little scenarios that it could go by. Apathy is where you become very laxed in your living the gospel, not just necessarily going to church and thinking that that's what it is, but being engaged in an active process. Are you just somebody that, you know, it's just a routine, or are you going there to really learn and want to understand? You know, I also, the word complacent becomes part of apathy. And so as you look at and listen to what apathy is, and then circle around that, the spiritual side, you begin to think about, on a spiritual sense, am I complacent in my gospel living?
And the last thing you mentioned was doing hard things. What advice would you give to a student who is feeling tired or worn out by doing hard things? I know right now it's the beginning of the semester, but especially as the semester ends, I see a lot of students who are just tired. You know, they have they've been having a lot of things going on. They're starting to get worn out. What advice would you give to someone who wants to do hard things but is just feeling a bit worn out?
In my talk, I talk about a process that my wife and I do as we are faced with big tasks. And we break them down into little pieces, which we call steps. And so the bigger the task, the more steps we have to go through. As we complete each task or step, we say, well, okay, there's that step down. Well, let's get to the next step. A similar concept that I have mentioned before is a phrase that says, inch by inch, it's a cinch. Yard by yard, it's hard. Every process can be broken down into individual steps. And if you set these short-term goals, you will accomplish the long-term goals. You know, students going to school now are no different than what we lived with. Everybody has tasks, hard things that they go through. But it's how you can break them down and realize that, you know what, you can do these things. I went on a hike last year, and I mentioned this in my talk, that it was a hard thing, that it took a lot of steps to go into a location and a lot of steps to come out. And I didn't realize how hard this hike would be until there were two other individuals that went with us, with my brother and I, and younger, more physically shaped, and had made a note that this is the hardest thing that they have been on. So me and my brother, being the older ones, think, well, gosh, we were able to accomplish that. And so it's a step of organizing and setting things up so that you can accomplish the small things. I very much encourage students not to postpone or put off things, procrastinate, stay on top of the tasks. You'll find it be a lot easier. Yes, you still like to enjoy time. You still like to have fun. But there's so much time that can be done where we might waste it on other things that really aren't important. Time will come later on where you can enjoy some of these other things, but you have a task, and if your task is to do that and to do well and to be able to accomplish that, you can do it. Anybody can do it.
Thank you so much for sharing that with me and with our listeners. I'm grateful that you were able to do this interview with me today.
You're welcome.